Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:05 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is August 7th. And today there were a number of events that are probably worth considering. One is that on the one hand you have the UK, where consumer spending is coming down. It's been trending lower, in fact, since about the end of 2014, but inflation is picking up. And on the other, you have Germany, where wage growth hasn't quite taken off yet, but economic growth is really quite robust. And there is an anticipation that inflation will begin to pick up there as well. But the fact is that the UK has got this challenge in front of it, and Germany has got an environment where it is a globally oriented economy, and the global economy is doing rather well, so that is helping to boost economic growth, and it's against a background where the unemployment rate is very low. There is the potential there that asset prices could begin to pick up. But when we start to then look at how is the market weighing the comparative advantage or disadvantage of the UK versus Europe, well, then we have the euro pound exchange rate, and it has surmounted the 90p level. The euro is outperforming the pound here, and you can see that back in 2016, immediately following, and I guess it wasn't immediately following the Brexit decision, but that it did get all the way up to 94. And if we look at it on a weekly basis, we can see that there have been on previous occasions it has pulled back from the 95p area. Now, when we look at this chart, then there's obviously the market is beginning to price in the fact that Europe is outperforming right now, and the outcome or the aftermath of all of the elections that happened earlier this year in the Netherlands and in France, and the upcoming election in Germany, that the most likely scenario is for further cohesion within the bloc. Quite what that is going to look like is another question, because they have still got to iron out exactly what a closer cohesion is going to look like and whether it is going to be in any way truly democratically aligned. But in the meantime, the pound is getting weaker against the euro, which enhances both the UK's competitive advantage on an export basis, but it also helps to foment inflation in the UK, which is, of course, what Mark Carney had been warning about when he talked about lower standards of living. But the somewhat weaker pound is largely beneficial for the export market, for companies that are both that are repatriating profits or that are redenominating profits internationally back into pounds. So the FTSE has bounced pretty emphatically over the last three sessions, in tandem with the weakness that we see for the pound, both against the euro and against the dollar. And the most important thing on this long-term chart is that the FTSE 100 has broken up and out of this 17-year range, and this represents really quite a major change in the market, and which I think has been largely ignored by the retail investor. Retail investors in the UK are predominantly in property, and they have eschewed the opportunity to be involved in the equity market en masse for quite some time, but that will change the longer the FTSE 100 continues to hold these advances, and most particularly if the record performance of the property market over the last 20 years begins to ebb. When we look at the Dow Jones, then it has been making new highs on a regular basis over the last couple of weeks, and this is we're looking at consecutive days on the upside here. But I think it is worth highlighting some of the shares within it, because it isn't as if every share in the index is rising. Most of this advance has been led by the outperformance of Apple. Apple prices have bounced pretty emphatically, it unwound the majority of its overextension relative to the trend mean, and now it is reasserting on the upside. There's rumors that they're working on a watch product that would be independent, would work independently of the iPhone, and obviously there is the 10th anniversary edition of the iPhone itself coming out later in the year. But this is an emphatic bounce from the region of the trend mean, and it is reasserting on the upside, and this continues to look like a bull market environment. But when, for example, we look at a share like GE, then it has pulled back in a pretty dynamic manner. That there is very much a rolling over characteristic to trade over the last year, and it might be oversold in the short term, but it really does need to break the progression of lower rally highs to really begin to suggest that. That demand is returning to dominance in here, and Disney has pulled back as well, having rallied quite impressively last week, at the beginning of last week at least. It is now pulling back. Part of the reason for that is because Netflix has made their first acquisition, and it is a comic book publisher, so they're going after the superhero market, which has been dominated for the last few years by Disney. But what can we say about this chart? That the most consistent period was between 2011 and the peak in 2015. That was a massive reaction against the prevailing trend, and we have had this rather lengthy period of right-hand extension, which in the absence of a sustained move above 120, represents top formation development, and that is potentially problematic. So, what happens with Disney and its ability to hold that $100 level is likely to be really quite an important development for this share. So, then when we step back and we look at the Dow Jones, it is at new highs, but you can see also that there is a very clear pattern of where the performance is coming from. And when we look at, for example, the banking sector, the bank sector has been ranging for much of this year, but JP Morgan is now testing the upper side of that range. And in tandem with the technology sector, the banking sector is doing well, and so is the mining sector. Turning back to the UK, the FTSE 350 mining index, which contains all of the mega cap miners, has been up in consecutive weeks, and it has bounced emphatically from the region of the trend mean. The one thing that the resources, banking and technology sectors have is that, generally speaking, they are considered to be cyclical, and it is cyclical shares are turning to outperformance in this period where we have synchronized global economic expansion. In a period where we have global synchronized economic expansion, well, then it would be natural to expect that we could anticipate at least that central banks would begin to remove some of the extraordinary accommodation that they have had out there in the system. And I think it is important that the yield on the 10-year Treasury right now is almost exactly where it was at the beginning of 2009. So yields have gone nowhere for 8 years. For those people that are saying that we can anticipate that there is going to be lengthy ranging, even for those that agree that the market or the yield has bottomed, there's a lot of people that are saying, well, this could range for the lengthy medium term. But I think that they're ignoring the fact that the yield has been ranging for potentially, you could say that it has been ranging for 5 years already, and yields are still where they were 8 years ago. So there is the potential here for a surprise. That's why I've the way that I've described the market is as the boy who cried wolf. That people who have been looking for inflation to come back in a meaningful way have been proved wrong on successive occasions over much of the last 8 years. And because people have listened to them and lost money, that means that people are less inclined to give that view credence. But just because our personal experience has been that inflation has not returned does not reduce the possibility that it will return. That is part of the conditioning process, both of a range and of a massive bull market, that the people that have lost money by betting against it become disheartened, and they are lured into the belief that the market will continue forever, that inflation it will never return. Of course, that is akin to some of the kind of thinking that, for example, Gordon Brown had, that is saying that they had conquered boom and bust, and before one of the biggest busts in history, or that earnings don't matter. In major bull markets, we get ample evidence of contradiction, and the bond market is exhibiting that kind of contradiction right now. So then that would suggest that inflation is probably going to return, for the simple reason that the bond market doesn't believe it's going to return. That's where the contradiction lies. So when we look at these bond yields against a background where we have economic expansion and we have central banks that are beginning to withdraw some of the most profound monetary stimulus in history, then it isn't beyond the bounds of possibility that that is going to have an effect on the bond market. But there isn't any great deal of evidence of it yet. In fact, yields have been pretty inert for much of the last few months. One of the things that I think people will be looking at is the argument about what to do about the debt ceiling, which will be somewhere in at the beginning of October. And October is generally one of those years, one of those months in the year where there is the potential for surprises. So perhaps we should be monitoring trends quite closely, considering that we are in such an inert environment. When we look at, for example, the VIX, then the VIX index is pretty similar, isn't it? That we are in an incredibly inert environment, that the VIX is back trading below 10 again today, and the number of times it has traded below 10 in the index's history, the vast majority have happened in the last 3 months. So this is an incredibly inert environment. Betting that the inert environment is going to last indefinitely is probably not the most not the best long-term strategy for investing. But in the absence of a break in what is a clear progression of lower rally highs, then the volatility on stocks is likely to remain muted. But what we also see is that this is a declining wedge type characteristic, and that eventually that will be resolved by an emphatic upward break. And when that occurs, we will be probably moving into a medium-term correction. So then we look at the stock markets, and they continue to remain consistent. As long as they remain consistent, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But at the same time, we know that we are already in the 9 years into a bull market, or at least depending on what you are looking at, 8 years. And then that also means that the cyclical bull is long in the tooth. So certainly we give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, but at the same time we have to be vigilant for what would constitute topping activity. When we take a broad step back and we look at some of the commodity complex, oil prices have been inconsistently ranging for much of the last 18 months, and they bounced off their low in here today, and this is challenging the progression of lower rally highs for the year. So it really would need to take out the lows that we saw today on Brent crude to confirm a top of at least short-term significance in here. In the meantime, I think people will be giving the benefit of the doubt to the upside, and shares like Royal Dutch Shell, with its impressive yield, that's, sorry, fat finger for typing there, has bounced pretty impressively over the last 3 weeks, and more importantly, it has broken its progression of lower rally highs, suggesting that we now have a low of more than short-term significance in here. The Indian market was relatively stable in here today, but I think it is worth considering what's going on in China. There is ample evidence, having been there for the last couple of weeks, that there is a tightening bias going on, and the last thing they want is a surprise. So that is generally positive for stocks. They certainly don't want to have the kind of rabid bull market that we had in 2014 and early 2015, but having a positive return for the year on stocks as we head towards the Party Congress would certainly look would think about it this way, that it would burnish the reputation of the current administration. So I think that that is likely to represent a bullish phenomenon for at least the next couple of months, and Hong Kong most particularly is exhibiting that continued upward bias. So the Hang Seng is currently trading around 27,700, and it has been very robust up over just about all of the month of July. It is a little bit overbought relative to the trend mean at present, but this is an emphatic upward break, clearing the 25,000 level. So a clear downward dynamic would be required to question potential for additional upside here. And the H share index, which is the Hong Kong listed Chinese companies, has also continued to hold this progression of higher reaction lows and a step sequence uptrend, one step above another, over the last 18 months. So that also suggests that this bounce from, and in fact it failed, downside break below 8,000 represents the lower side of this range, and the upper side of the range is 14,000. So there is ample upside potential for this index over the if and if the trend remains consistent, it would probably be getting up towards that level in 18 months' time. But of course, the more consistent a trend is, the greater the incentive is to anticipate, and that generally contributes to the pace of the advance picking up. So it might not quite be 18 months before we see 14,000 on this index. And of course, that is provided the consistency of the trend remains intact. When we look at the commodity complex, and then I think it is probably worth taking an eye at taking a look at Brazil. The Brazilian market is pushing back up towards 70,000, and that's being led higher by the metals and mining sector, and that's despite the fact that there is this continued political corruption scandal that has embroiled just about every elected official in the country. But the fact of the matter is that Brazil is a resources exporting country, and resources are doing rather well. And this, of course, is in nominal terms. So it is probably also worth looking at an ETF which is denominated in another currency. But here's the US dollar listed iShares, and you can see that it has doubled since the beginning of 2016. It is currently testing that $40 area, but provided it is holding support in the region of the trend mean, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And there is also a whiff of a change coming through in South Africa. Zuma is facing a secret ballot of no confidence against him, and the rand has strengthened up. The rand had that large dynamic move back here in. Where's my mouse gone? So there it is, and back here in March. But then it continued to hold the progression of lower rally highs. So this is a trend of the rand appreciating versus the dollar, going from 18 to the current 13 and change in the last 18 months is a pretty significant advance. But it has now found support in the region of the trend mean, and there is, if there is indeed realistic potential that Zuma could be ousted, then that could be quite positive for both the rand and indeed the domestic market. The All Share Index in Johannesburg is dominated by the miners, and it has just broken out to new high ground. And against a background of a potentially stronger currency, then that could be a really quite a bullish phenomenon for South Africa, not least because that the country has largely been written off because of that deteriorating trend of governance. So what happens over the next few weeks there is likely to be really quite interesting from a medium-term investor's perspective. And of course, because the resources sector is in a recovery trajectory, that should generally be positive for just about all of the commodity exporters. And the ASX in Australia has a very similar, the AX48, the resources index, has got a very similar trajectory to the FTSE 350 mining index, and not least because there is quite a bit of cross-pollination between the two indices. It has bounced from the region of the trend mean, and provided that remains the case, I think we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And of course, the lithium mining industry is in a supply inelasticity meets rising demand environment right now, because there are so many battery factories being built, and there is increasing competition and a desire to emulate Tesla. So we can anticipate that there's going to be a lot more demand for lithium, and that means that this relatively small number of companies involved are going to have to ramp up their production. So there is certainly a lot going on, and the most likely scenario continues to remain that we are in a bull market environment. There are threats evolving out there on the horizon, but they don't appear to be particularly pressing at the current moment. So I think we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.